Okay, now we shall do Rajas. I think Rajas we are quite familiar with. Shouldn't have any problem understanding Rajas. Actually, Gurudev says Tamas is the one you guys will understand best because all of you are in that. Some of the people even here are in this Tamas, but hopefully, at least we are in Rajas. Hopefully we are in, not in Tamas. So verse number 7. Rajo ragatmakam vidhi Krishna sanga samudbhavam tanne badnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. So Rajas, now he's talking about Rajas, it is of the nature of Raga. Raga means attachment. It is extreme attachment, likes and dislikes. You know, under the influence of Raga means like, also means extreme attachment. Vidhi, please know, Arjuna, that Rajas is of the nature of extreme attachment. And where does it arise from? Trishna and Sangha. Trishna means thirst. Excessive thirst, excessive desire. There is one is a thirst, but one is an Trishna means there is so much desire that this alone I want. Nothing else and I won't be satisfied till I get it. And no matter how many people I have to torture and kill and hurt, but I must have it. That is Trishna. Trishna is a very beautiful word. And we find that in people who are power hungry or power crazy or crazy for wealth or whatever, that anything I'll do to get it. So that is called Trishna. Trishna and Sangha. Sangha means attachment. Samudbhavam. So it arises from Trishna, thirst and attachment. And tat nibadnati. And that Rajas nibadnati binds. Oh, Kaunteya. Kaunteya. Arjuna was Kunti's son. So Krishna calls him Kaunteya. Also, when he uses the word Kaunteya, it is a very loving word because Kunti was very dear to Krishna. She was like his sister. And so when he says Kaunteya, what he's telling him is, oh, you are my dear sister's son. So I love you so much. So what I will tell you will not be wrong. And you're never going to mislead your own child or your own, you know, nephew here. So he loves him. Of course, they were friends, but they also had, she was like a sister to him. So he says, O Arjuna, that Rajas can bind you karma sangena, by attachment to karma, by attachment to action. We say action is good, then how can action bind us? So we'll cover it today. So it says thirst and attachment, Trishna and Sangha. Gurudev in his commentary says Trishna is desire for what I don't have. I don't have something, so I have a desire to possess it. I must have it. Without it, my life is incomplete. I'll do whatever it takes, and whatever, you know, obstacles come, I'll just trample over them. I must get it. And, you know, which is, in a way, it is good, you know, if you have a drive or an ambition. But when that drive or ambition becomes so selfish, becomes so materialistic, becomes so violent that, you know, it does not, that whoever comes in my way, I have to kick him out and stamp over it, then that attachment, that desire becomes harmful. And then, so what happens? I have thirst for something. Then once I get it, then I have attachment. I cannot lose it. I must have it. I must hold on to it no matter what happens. And so that getting it is good, but then I am afraid to lose it. And there's this Tulsidas ji story which talks about selfish attachment. Actually, Tulsidas ji was a very great saint. He wrote the Ramayana. But it is interesting how did he get started in spirituality. It's a very interesting story. He was I think some of you may have heard it, but it's worth repeating. He was a young man and he got married to a very beautiful girl. And he was madly in love with her. All the time he wanted to be with her. And so a few weeks after she got married, you know, those days, you know, the distances were good and you had to go by foot or bullock cart. So she went to her mother's house. You know, in our homes, you know, the wife goes back to the mother's house after a few weeks. And so she went there and she was going to stay a few days and then come back. So Tulsidas ji, the moment she left in the morning, he was not ji at that time. He was not a saint. Whole day he was sad and he was depressed and he couldn't feel like working. All the time he's thinking about his wife, missing his wife, wanting his wife. And by night time, he couldn't take it anymore. I have to meet my wife. Now, she's already gone to the other village, and the village is few miles away, and there is a river on the way. Tulsidas said, I have to go find her. I have to meet her. I have to get to her. So he starts, you know, on his, without anything, he just puts on his chappals, with clothes, he starts walking. It's miles to walk. Yeah, I don't care. And he walks, and then it starts raining heavily, heavy rain. And he cannot, and those days they didn't have street lights and traffic lights. He was just walking, you know, he knew the way, so somehow he kept on walking in the heavy rain, drenched. And then the river came, and of course, by that time, all the boats were closed. The boatmen had gone home. River was in full flood. He just somehow, with great difficulty, swam the river, almost drowned. It is pitch dark. By the time he gets to the, you know, his wife's village, it's around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he somehow finds his way, and you know, by memory, somehow he reaches her house. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. She's all asleep. Her parents are asleep. He cannot wake anybody up and say, "I've come here to see my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning." The father-in-law will, you know, think he's crazy or might beat him up. So how to now let her know I'm here? I have to see her. I have to see. So he knows that her room is on the second floor, on the not on the ground floor, but the next floor, second floor. And there is a balcony, and he sees a rope hanging. He says, ah, that's her room. So he catches the rope, holds on, and pulls himself up, gets into the balcony. He knocks on the window, and she's sleeping in the bed, and she hears the sound. Who is this knocking at? And she opens the window, you know, to the balcony, and he's there, and he comes in through the window. And she says, what are you doing here? He says, I had to see you. I couldn't, you know, I cannot stay without you. She said, I just left a few hours ago. No, I had to. So how did you get here, you know, this time of the night? Oh, I, in the heavy rain, and how, oh, I walked in the rain, and I crossed. You crossed the river? I just swam. Okay, and then how did you climb up the balcony? He said, oh, I held this rope and climbed it. She said, what rope? There's no rope. So she finds a little lamp and lights it. It was a snake. It was a snake hanging from her balcony. It was a non-poisonous snake. So he holds on to the snake and climbs up. So she was a wise woman. So what she says, you know, this love that you have for me, if you had the same amount of love for Ram, you would have realized. If you had the same amount of love for God as you have for me, just an ordinary woman in flesh, and you are spending all your energy, turn this towards God. It's like somebody slapped him in the face, you know, and he just woke up. He said, what a fool I was. You know, what am I doing with my life? And that one sentence woke him up. And he, from that day on, he said, my life, rest of my life is going to be devoted to God. And of course, then we later on, we know he became one of the greatest saints that we have ever produced in India. Wrote the Tulsi Ramayan, which is a beautiful, story of Ramchandra ji's entire life, thousands of verses in exquisite poetry, full of love, full of devotion, full of knowledge. Beautiful. So that's what I'm saying, that attachment, when it becomes selfish, it can inhibit our growth. But when the attachment becomes unselfish, that means I love my wife or I love my spouse, but it is an unselfish attachment where it's not what I can get from the relationship, but what I can give to the relationship, what I can bring. So that same attachment or same love, when it becomes unselfish, that is pure love. And when it becomes selfish, that is contaminated love. So love is good, but is the love for me or is it love for her? So that same love that I have for me and my family, I should then transfer it, you know, to the community, to my church, to my nation. Like, you know, John F. Kennedy so beautifully said, he said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what can you do for your country. So that is called true national love, that I love my country and I'm ready to sacrifice anything I want. I love my community. I love the world. And these saints, they did not limit themselves to one country or one religion or one community. Their love was for all. So selfish attachment is bad, but when it is unselfish love, when it is not only for me, myself, and I, or me and my family, but for all, it is good. But people who are under the influence of rajas, they get so attached to their selfish desires that it ultimately leads to addictions. And that also comes from that. You know, it could be addiction to anything. It could be an addiction to cigarettes, alcohol, drugs. Some people get addicted to sense pleasures. You know, I must have multiple partners. Some people get addicted to food or addicted to power, you know, where I must become the most powerful person on earth. I must become the richest person. And they get so addicted to wealth, they won't share anything they have. So addiction can be anything. It can be addiction to a person, like we saw in Tulsidas' life. He was so addicted to that he could not even stand the separation of his wife for a few hours, for a few days. So that is called thirst, and that is called attachment. It is called dependence. See, wherever there is dependence, then that is dependence does not mean that I independent, does not mean I don't love. I love that person, but I love that person unselfishly. I love that person unconditionally. I love that person spontaneously. And I'm ready to do anything. You know, that's what, you know, in all our movies, Hindi movies and English movies, I love you so much, you know, I'll chaand sitare tod ke le aunga, I'll bring the sun and the moon and the stars down for you. You know, so all this, all these dialogues and all the songs, you know, they have all this, how much I love you. And but the idea being that I am ready to do anything to make you happy. And again, it does not mean happy. It does not mean that I become a doormat and he can walk all over me. No. I still have my own space. I have my own, you know, confidence and all. But it's not out of weakness, but out of strength, out of confidence. When I'm confident about myself, then I can give, then I can share. If I am myself not confident, then that's not. Then the sharing is difficult. So people who are under the influence of rajas perform endless sinful activities, constant. Sinful again means selfish, cheating, lying, negative. Arjuna asks in the third chapter, Krishna, he asks, Atha kena prayoktoyam papam charati purushaha annichanapi varshneya balat iva niyojitaha. She says, O Varshneya, O Krishna, who belongs to the Vrishni family, kena prayukto ayam papam charati purushaha. Why is it that human beings indulge in sinful activities? As we said, sinful means anything that takes me away from my divine nature is sinful. I am of the nature of divinity. We are all godlike, have the potential. Anything that takes me away from my divinity is sinful. He says, why do people go away from their goodness and why do they become sinful? Anichchanapi varshan, even though they don't want it, balad eva niyojita, as if some powerful force is propelling them. Why does that happen? So Krishna answers beautifully. He says, kama esha, krodha esha, rajogun samudbhavam, papa, it commits, makes you a lot of sins. It devours, and what does it do? It deludes you, vidhi enam verinam. So he says, what is it? It is kama and krodha. It is desire and anger. When there is desire, excessive desire, as we said, thirst, then when I don't get it, I become angry. And when I become angry, then I do anything, whatever is required, whatever things I should not have done. And such activities, how do they come out? Where do they come out from? Rajas, Udbhavam. They come out of Rajas. So what are the two main problems? Desire and anger. And what do? They devour. They devour us. Krishna says, what do they mean by devour? They means they devour your soul. They devour your intellect. You no longer can think logically. All your spiritual tendencies are destroyed. The moment we are under the influence of desire and under the influence of anger, it makes you completely forget that you are a civilized human being. And that's when we act like animals. You know, they say, oh, he's so nice. But when he's under the influence of anger, stay away from him. He's worse than an animal, worse than a lion or worse than a tiger. So that's what he says. And that is the thing that makes you do negative things. It makes you do sinful activities. And they are your enemies. Be careful of them. Enemy means they are the enemies of your soul. So that is the problem. When we have excessive desire, and then I don't fulfill the desire, I get anger. When I fulfill the desire, I get greed. And then I get jealousy. Then I get hatred. Then I get comparison with others. And you know, all those fear that I may lose it. So everything starts from desire. That's what Krishna says. Kama, desire is the main problem. So be very careful. Again, we are not saying that one should not be try to be successful or try to be the best you can be. We always tell our children. And that is good, but it should be done in a good way. It should be done in an honest way. It should be done in a sincere way. That's why in our Purushartha, they say dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. There are four things that we should try to reach. Artha and kama. Artha is wealth. And kama is pleasures. So one should have comforts of life. One should enjoy life. But it should be done with dharma. The first one is dharma. That means I should enjoy in a right way. And I should acquire possessions in a rightful way. So that is the way. Dharma is the number one. I should be honest. I should be righteous. And within the boundaries of dharma, you can enjoy all you want. Within the boundaries of dharma, you can acquire and earn. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fourth one is moksha. The most important is ultimately liberation, where ultimately I go beyond the bondages of the world, give up the bondages of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and hold on to the Lord, hold on to Jesus or Krishna or Shiva or Mother Saraswati. So whatever my chosen idol is, I become one with that. That is called moksha. So these are the four goals or four purusharthas of our human birth. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma is righteousness. Artha is wealth, material possessions. Kama is sense pleasures. And ultimately, moksha or liberation from the bondage. But we find that nowadays malls are full and they are growing and more multiplying. And if you walk around the mall and if you look at honestly and say, how many of these things do I really need? And if you walk through, you will find that very, very few. And these malls are full of clothes and full of goods. And people are buying and, you know, sackfuls, especially at Christmas. It is so crazy. We are buying for things that we don't need and giving to others what they don't need. You know, it's so much effort and time and money is wasted. So be selective. You know, buy what you need, not what you desire. But people say, you know, when I satisfy my desire, I feel very peaceful. You know, like somebody, I want BMW, BMW, BMW. And then suddenly you get a BMW. For a while you feel very good. So isn't that good? What's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with satisfying the desire? Gurudev says that when your desire is satisfied, you have a temporary sattva. You are actually in sattva. Why? Because the mind is now peaceful. I wanted the BMW, BMW. Money, I got it. So for a while, Actually, somebody said, talked about BMW. I've talked before. There's a Swamiji from Washington, D.C. He says, you know what BMW stands for? Big money waste. So anyway, so I got it. So temporarily, I'm in a sattvic mood. Why? Because my desire is for the BMW satisfied. Only for a short while. Then tomorrow, some other desire arises. Are you done? No, but now I need a bigger house. Now I need more jewelry. Now I need this. Now I need that. I need a better job. Now I have to make the payments on the BMW and this job is not good enough. So I need a better job. I need to expand my business. So even when the mind is quiet, it is only temporary sattva. Temporarily you are in sattva, but then rajas takes over. So that's how rajas binds you, by constant activity, endless sinful activities, working 24 hours a day, 18 hours, 20 hours, not resting, and just, has no time. And by age 45, 50, he gets a heart attack, is either gone or, So the point is that work is good, but work should not become an obsession. That's what they say. Don't become a workaholic. Don't let the work possess you. You choose. Okay, I need to work so much to earn. I need to do this. But then I need some time for my own spiritual growth. I need to learn. I need to evolve. I need to progress. So that's how rajas can bind you with constant activities. Karma sangena dehinam. Dehinam means the one who occupies the body, the individuality, the jiva, gets bound by addiction to activities. So that is how rajas binds us. Any comments, any questions? Yeah, trishna means excessive thirst. Thirst, trishna. T-R-I-S-H-N-A, trishna. Some people pronounce it trushna, but it's the same. It's the excessive desire, yes. Right. I think in the two-year-old, I don't think they are as yet mature enough to understand, and what happens is they are in the process of discovering the world, and they want to hold, and they want to possess, and they do not have the discrimination. You cannot put your hand in the fire, for example. They've never been burnt, or you cannot hold sharp knives. So they do not have the sense of discrimination. And then again, depends on the nature. Like boys are more active than girls. Boys get into more trouble. Girls are more peaceful, more calmer as a rule, generally. So they are in the process of discovering. And that is where the parents have to modulate and control. And, most parents know that the child is going through this phase. And yeah, what is good for them, I have to give. But when they act how they shouldn't, then some amount of discipline needs to be there. Not by beating and all, but some way of telling them, no, you can't have it. And so teaching them the boundaries and teaching them respect. Like you cannot go to your friend's house and bring his toy. Things like that. I think at that stage, they are not yet mature enough to understand the consequences of their actions. So that's why parents who are either neglecting them is bad and giving them everything is bad. So one has to set healthy boundaries, because when she grows up and goes out into the world, she's not going to get everything she wants. There are certain boundaries. Certain things you're not supposed to have, and you have to know the rule of law and so on. By teaching them with love, you can set healthy boundaries for them. So, right. Yeah, the law of karma is very complex. I think we talked about last week. Yeah, part of it is that you, like if you have a musical talent, you will be born in the house of musicians. But there are sometimes very good people who are born to very criminal parents, and they still turn out to be saints, and even though they were in a horrible environment. And then there are some people who are so wicked, and their parents are godly and saint-like, and they still turn out to be drug addicts and criminals. So there are a lot of factors, like I had talked last week, that a person may be very criminal, and he's born to very good parents, and he makes their life hell, and the parents say, oh, what did I do to deserve such a child? We don't know. Maybe in their previous life, they had done something bad to that particular child, and so in this life he came to take revenge. And we find that some parents are so nice, but the children are absolutely criminal, and they make their parents' life hell. They even steal from the parents. So we don't know what actions we have done in our past life and why I am going through. So the main thing is not to blame anybody, not to blame my child, not to blame my spouse, my boss, not to blame President Obama. But whatever is happening is a result of my own karmas, and just cheerfully bear it and do the best you can. So it's very complex, but it's sometimes very hard to explain why anybody is going through. That's why Gurudev says that don't ask why. You know, why did God create this world? Then you should ask, why is there gravity? Why things are falling down? Why don't they go up? There is no why. The fact is that the things do fall down. So you work with that premise. Don't stand on the second floor and step out of the balcony. You say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Why is there gravity? You will break your bones. So why is not a good question to ask. You ask what is, and then deal with it. She explained it very well. She said, those who don't understand Hindi, in our own life, also we go through various stages. Like in childhood, you're more peaceful, you're more pure. Not peaceful, but your mind is more pure. And then as you go to the family life, and after your studies, then you become more rajasic, and you have to possess and to acquire and accumulate wealth. But then once you pass age, say 50 or 60, when it comes time to retire and you're supposed to withdraw, then automatically your body becomes weaker. You develop some amount of tamas. Your ability to produce and to possess and to acquire reduces. At that stage, if you still try to hold on and still try to overwork, then you're looking for stress. So at that time, slowly withdraw and then turn your mind towards sattvic activities. Instead of, some people go into extreme tamas. After retirement, they don't do anything. They just sit all day, watch TV, or just sit all day and play golf. Not to me, that is tamasic. Sorry. There might be some very good golfers here. But if you're going to spend your whole day playing golf, it's an unproductive existence. Just chasing one little ball all over the court. Pardon me, if there is some golfers. I know your husband is a very good golfer. Yeah, but, it's good for relaxation. You play 2-3 hours, it's okay. But if you are retired, make your life more productive. Go out and help society. Help others. So that's what she said, that while you are withdrawing from the worldly activities, develop more time for God. More time for spiritual activities, more time for study, more time for sharing, more time for volunteering. So make your life more sattvic instead of making it tamasic. So after your work is over, that's when you get to choose. While you're working also, you can do more sattvic activities. As we said, even though I'm working, but I can still have time for study, for some, listening to lectures, some thinking, some doing some time for community service, if I have extra time. So that is sattvic, when I'm working for the benefit of others. So yes, but that is what she said. So thank you. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think we little bit addressed that in the beginning of the class when we talked about the four purusharthas, that this desire for sense enjoyment is there, and the hormones are there, and the passion is there. That's very good. And rajas is passion. I kind of didn't address that, but it is addressed in the commentary. There is a lot of passion. The passion is, passion to excel, passion to produce, passion to possess is good. But that passion should be tempered by dharma. It should be righteousness. So a person can enjoy, but within the limits of what is right, what is honest, what is truthful. And then excessive enjoyment, self-indulgence in whatever field. It could be in the sexual field, it could be in the food, it could be in the possessions, whatever. Excessive enjoyment leads to destruction, leads to all bad habits and, leads to drugs and alcohol and all that. So the hormones, and then that extra energy you have, instead of just channeling into more possessing, enjoying and all, can be channeled into community service. Okay, I have extra energy, so let me go out and build a house, you know, this Habitat for Humanity. They build homes for poor, homeless people. So I have a lot of energy. Instead of using it in some destructive, let me go on Saturday, Sunday, work 8 hours and hammer nails into the roof, you know. So I use my same energy that I have for. So at the end of the day, I feel good that I use my energy to help some poor, homeless person. So yes, the hormones will be there, the passion will be there, the energy will be there. But do I use it for the betterment of others, or do I use it for my own selfish needs? So that is where having the right knowledge, having a guru, having, you know, your parents advise you, maybe if you're a teenager or in the early 20s, you don't think your parents know anything, but that is the time, and I think all of us are going through that. So knowing that there is somebody I can turn to, and I think that's why it is the Bal Vihar, you know, where we try to give them these values from childhood, you know, respect for parents, respect for teachers, respect for guru, respect for the knowledge. So if they have that, then hopefully, even when this passion is there, it will be for unselfish activities. So it can be channeled. You know, it's like a river. It can flood the whole thing, or if it is dammed and channeled correctly, it can fertilize. Like we have this canal coming from Northern California. The water, instead of going into the ocean, is brought down here. And the most fertile land in the world is, you know, the one in the valley. Why? Because that water has been properly channeled. So that energy which was going to waste in the ocean has been channeled. So that is the idea of channeling that, I think. But that's a very good question. Yes. Right. I think, yeah, that's right. So your vasanas will drive your mind, but then you have to use your intellect. And that comes from knowledge, from the teacher, from the scriptures, you know, and channeling the knowledge in the right direction. Yes, yes, power of this. But thank you, that's a very good question. Thanks. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah, Harihi Om. Thank you very much.